Coming up on show 987, the Chinese-made Tesla Model 3 with its new lithium iron phosphate battery, and is a little complained about, actually, gets thoroughly tested in Germany. Also on the podcast today, Rivian identifying their 10 showroom locations. Volkswagen ID6 gets leaked in photographs online, and why the Italian EV market is charging onwards from a very low base, though. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Monday, 8th of Feb. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Thank you, as always, to the gang at myev.com. If you are in the US, then make sure you check them out, because it's a great marketplace to use to learn about EVs, the buying and selling price, maybe some local comparisons in your area, maybe the car that you drive or your dream car. Would be good to know what it's worth, what people are paying. Check out the totally free marketplace at myev.com. Okay, so we'll start off with this headline story that Next Move, which is a German rental company, have hundreds of cars in their fleet, over 40 Teslas, also have a really successful YouTube channel. The MD of that company, Stefan Müller, has tested the new Chinese, or made in China, Model 3 very extensively over the last 6 weeks. Now, there's lots of internet, let me preface this by saying there's lots of internet chatter about these new Model 3s with the lithium iron phosphate batteries, the ones with no cobalt, LFP batteries, and their cells come from CATL, and Chinese owners have, the first owners that got these cars on Chinese social media, complaining about the car having a very low range indicated on the dashboard, charging very slowly, sort of 20, 30, 40, 50 kilowatts maximum charge speed, or that kind of fast charging Tesla pie in the sky nonsense they're not getting. So I've ignored it on this podcast until now because it was internet chatter. You don't know how much of that is set up by Tesla haters anyway. And also, you know, it's just social media reports, even though there's a lot of it. Well, when someone like this tests the car over 6 weeks, an EV expert, I'm inclined to report on it for you, give you my opinion, and let you make your own mind up. Well, Stefan's, Mr. Müller's conclusion is that no other electric car has provided us with such stark test results so far. The video that he's made shows advantages and disadvantages of using this new battery technology. It's not new, but it's new for Tesla. Because not just about Tesla, other manufacturers are relying on these batteries in the future. And he shows why lithium iron phosphate batteries are technically a challenge for the automakers. Now, it's a long video, it's an hour-long video, it's in German, but let me just summary this for you. And by the way, this is going to be a long podcast today. I've written this on late on Sunday night, and there's a ton of news around. So, you know, sorry, not sorry. First of all, he took a made-in-China Model 3 with an LFP battery. The car was first fully charged in two complete test cycles, and he ran it down to 0%, at least according to zero on the onboard computer. These tests he did on dry roads in temperatures around freezing, and Germany temperatures this time of year, pretty similar to here in the UK. It's minus one today, for instance, and snowing in many parts of the country. So the results on both test runs were identical. The range of his SR Plus, so Standard Range Plus Model 3, with the new battery, was 230 kilometres. That means a range of this car of 142 miles, much less than advertised. The onboard computer showed a withdrawal of 44 kilowatt hours. So that is how much energy they got out of the battery. Not necessarily how much is in there originally or the nominal value, but 44 kilowatt hours. Again, much less than many people, you know, if they think Tesla, they think these massive batteries. The vehicle registration document says 55 kilowatt hours. The question of whether the value of 55 is gross or net is left unanswered because he asked Tesla's press office and didn't get a response. A cold battery means high internal resistance. So these are temperatures between freezing 0°C and 5°C. Now, cold temperatures worsen efficiency, not only when driving, but when charging. And something else curious happens during charging. The Model 3, when you plug the car in, it actually heats the battery first, which is all about conditioning the battery ready to take a charge. Now, that is, he says, nonsensical, because in normal charging, the user doesn't want to stay at a fast charger any longer than they have to. At home, charging time isn't important, but not at the supercharger. You want to plug in, charge fast, and go. At home, you don't mind. You arrive home, you plug it in, it's probably left charging all night. But apparently, Tesla doesn't want to charge the battery when it's cold. In this next move test, the car was emptied to 0% on the display. But the internal value of the BMS, which isn't visible, but you can plug a phone into the car with some software and see, even though the car reads 0% left, the BMS showed 13% in the battery. It's a very high reserve, and of course it explains why many people who've bought this new battery technology for Tesla in China and Germany as well are seeing such low range figures. Even when the car gets fully charged, if it's cold, it's saying, hey, I'll do 140 miles or 230 kilometers on the dashboard. And so people are thinking, I better contact Tesla. There's something wrong with the car. So that's just to do with the battery that's being reserved. Now, the battery makers, the cell makers, are CATL, and they confirmed that it took 9 months between the announcement of the Model 3 with this new battery pack in China and the customer delivery starting. Now, that 9 months is incredibly quick. Normally, car makers would take at least 2 years for a process like that, and part of that two-year process is extensive cold and hot weather testing. So next move, ask the question, are Tesla using their customers to be beta testers in this phase right now? Well, in a Weibo post, which is the social media network in China, Tesla had asked owners to fully charge their cars once per week. Not only that, they were to charge to 100% every time the car was plugged in on a power source. Now, anyone familiar with Tesla's communication policy knows that a clear statement like that, which is every time you plug the car in, please go to 100%, is a clear statement about telling their customers what to do, because Tesla don't really tell their customers too much what to do. So when they're clear like that, we know it's important. Now, Tesla, until now, have said with their cobalt batteries, don't charge the car to 100%, go to 80 or 90% even, you know, that kind of area in day-to-day driving for battery longevity. But with this lithium iron phosphate battery, they're saying go to 100% as often as you can. Now, the Tesla fans online were saying that's because this battery technology is far superior, that it can go to 100. But here's the alternative view to that, and I'm not on either side of the fence on this. I'm going to present the facts and you make your mind up. Could it be, if as next move suggests, Tesla are using these early customers as beta testers, as what other car companies would do before they released a car to the public? They haven't got the algorithm sorted yet. It's why one driver, for instance, was on a German motorway and the car said 14% left, and all of a sudden jumped to zero and died. And the recovery truck had to take them to a supercharger. Is it because they haven't quite nailed down the algorithm, the software yet, for these cells that are inside? And I don't know, and it's only my opinion. And I would love Tesla to clarify on this, but they won't. They barely offer information to car buyers. Like, when you buy the car, it'll be great to know, oh, hey, who made the battery? Like, what's the cells used in this? And more details. But the buyers are simply told Tesla comes with a state-of-the-art lithium-ion battery, which, I mean, like, it could mean anything. So they don't share a huge amount of information, and, you know, nor do they have to tell customers which company made the cells, whether it's CATL or Panasonic or LG Chem. They don't have to, but they don't share an awful lot of information with their customers. So are the Model 3 buyers being used as beta testers? If they are, I have every confidence Tesla will get it right eventually. If there's one thing that I'm pretty sure of, that with increased amounts of data, they'll be able to push over-the-air updates to these cars to better get the BMS understanding that battery. And by the way, if you're new to the podcast, BMS, battery management system, it's kind of the brain of the car that tells the driver how much battery is left and sits between the battery and the power electronics of the car. There's an inverter. And if you are new to the podcast, I don't want you to think that you shouldn't buy one of these cars. I absolutely would, knowing, again, bit of an EV nerd, knowing that these cars are new. Elon Musk himself said recently that if you want an absolutely nailed down, and I'm paraphrasing here, perfect car, don't buy a Tesla at the beginning of a production run. And so what was that? Was that on a social media chat? It wasn't on the earnings call, but I'll find a source for that if you're interested. So look, I'll put a link to next move. There's an English translation of the article, but not the video, online. If you want to read more, it's maybe a 10 or 15 minute read. I've read it twice, you know, to try and fully understand it. And it's a very interesting bunch of tests they do over an extended period of time. Now, there are people who I understand this is not on for them. They've invested a lot of personal money in a Tesla and they just want it to work as advertised, or they've seen the American cars charging really quickly at, you know, they've, oh wow, on a V3 supercharger, 250 kilowatt charging. They plug in and it's 25. Like, this is a tenth of what I should be getting. I don't mind that learning process because I'd get a kick out of it. My wife, on the other hand, if she was driving down the road with that baby in and it went from 14 to zero and died, that car would be on the market before the end of the day and it would be sold. She's got no time for that because she puts up with me anyway, working far too much and nerding out about EVs and stuff. She would not be like, I'm not having a car as a project here to help out Tesla. They can sell me a car when it's ready. Whereas I would be up for that, for instance, but I would know going into it what I'm getting into, because, you know, like, I've talked about it for 10 minutes on this podcast, so I'll stop there. If you want to read more, have a look at that Next Move article. It's very thorough, and it looks good. The graphs, all the testing, looks pretty legit to me. So, let's move on. Tesla are in the news today for the Model 3, once again being the world's favourite EV, by a heck of a long way. Full year results for plug-in cars. Tesla sold 499,000 cars and 365,000 of them were Model 3s. So Model 3 was the world's most popular EV last year, so far ahead of the next one, which was the Wuling Mini EV, which sold 119,000. The Renault Zoe was next with 100,000. And then next in the list, the Model Y, the Kona, the ID3, the Leaf, and the Audi e-tron, if you're interested. But what about the actual car makers themselves? Well, because of the amount of models that are on offer, Tesla, again, like you know, heard me mention, their full year production was, or deliveries, was about 500,000, 499,000 and change. VW, now not far behind, with all of the models they offer for sale, 421,500. SAIC next with 272,000, then Renault-Nissan with 226, and BMW with 195,000 sold last year, plug-in cars. VW reduced its distance to Tesla from, in the previous year, 227,000 they were off, to last year being only short 78,000 to beating Tesla. Inclusively, the VW group outsold Tesla in the last quarter of the year. They're on a real roll right now because VW have finally bought lots more cars to market. They registered 191,000 units in the last quarter alone, while Tesla did 183. Will it mean that VW becomes the biggest EV maker in 2021? Well, it's going to be close, but perhaps not, says Jose Pontes for the EV sales blog, which he's been running for a very long time, actually, and it's fascinating to read his take on the final table at the end of 2020. Model 3 won its third consecutive World's Bestseller Award, with no real competition yet for being a single model. So 2021 will be its fourth title in a row, which would equal the number of the Nissan Leaf, which was the biggest selling car in the world, the biggest selling EV in the world, in 2011, 2013, 14, and 2016. Tesla could be investing in BYD, the Chinese company, which is partly invested in by Warren Buffett's company. Media reports circulating that Tesla wants to buy into the Chinese vehicle and battery maker BYD. According to these reports, 20% of the company's shares are being discussed, and Tesla would spend $36 billion on acquiring a fifth of BYD. The South Korean newspaper Chosun picked up on these reports from Chinese media. Amongst others, BYD was named as a source, reports Electrive. Tesla is said to be less interested in the cars that BYD are making, the vehicles, but in their battery business, which is the original business, making batteries before they made cars, funnily enough. Their Blade Battery, which is their kind of brand name they give to their LFP batteries, the cobalt-free lithium iron phosphate battery. But the Blade ones from BYD, their LFP technology is really, really good. Actually have a higher energy density than the lithium-ion batteries with the cobalt in, the NCM cathode. So made real progress there, and you could see Tesla investing in BYD just to get access to those LFP batteries, which at the minute are coming from CATL. Tesla are reintroducing enhanced autopilot for some people. The enhanced autopilot package in Europe and China is now back on the table with some of the features of full self-driving. So all Teslas come with autopilot, which is fancy cruise control, and for $10,000 extra, you get a full self-driving, which isn't full self-driving. But there is now a halfway house. Again, it was on the market, and then it was off, then it was on, then it was off, and now it's back on again. Enhanced autopilot is back with navigate on autopilot, which I think is a great feature, if you can get that. Navigate on autopilot does work here in Europe. I mean, a lot of full self-driving doesn't work here, how it works in the US because of regulations, but navigate on autopilot is a great thing to have. Auto lane change, auto park, and summon. Auto park, nah. Summon, nah. Party trick. But nav on autopilot and auto lane change, both very, very useful. And auto enhanced autopilot is now €3,800. And you can go like a halfway house if you want to. Elon Musk said on the latest earnings call that in China, full self-driving had a 1% to 2% take rate, much lower than many other markets, according to Electrek. Several European-based Tesla customers who didn't buy full self-driving now reporting to have the option to go halfway to EAP. And let's move on from a lot of Tesla news that came in over the weekend to kick off your Monday podcast. Next is Rivian in the news, announcing that Chicago will be the second of their planned 10 retail locations. The Windy City site is on W. Randolph Street in the Fulton Market neighborhood, if you're interested. Joins Laguna Beach, California, in the list of showroom sites opening this year. One of 10 showroom sites opening for Rivian in 2021, says Autoblog. The retail locations offer customers the chance to check out an R1T and an R1S will be there in the metal. There won't be dealerships, though. You can't buy one inside there. You do buy the whole buying process is done online. Deliveries begin summer for the truck, by the way. Next, it's Volkswagen in the news. ID6 has leaked in some photos. This is a big SUV, like BMW X5 size SUV, if you like. One look at the big, I mean, like the world needs more big SUVs. I mean, sigh. But China wants them, loads of them, and electric as well. So it's not going to be coming to the US at the moment. It's for China only. Photos of the ID6 are based on the ID Rooms concept. And they're on Reddit, and they come from the Chinese Ministry of Industry and Information Technology. And it looks similar to the concept car, says CNET, but the front face is more conventional than the sleek facier on the ID Rooms concept. I'll go to Italy next. The ugly duckling of the electric market here in Europe is finally turning into a swan. Talking about Italy, home of so many historic motor brands, the EV market was almost non-existent until recently. Now blossoming into a noteworthy player in the European market, says Opportunity Energy's website. 32,000 full electric cars were sold last year. It's a 2.3% market share. And plug-in hybrids also grew to 27,000 units, less than full BEVs, but still a fourfold increase on the previous year. So a total plug-in market of 4.3% in Italy. That's a big catch-up. Next, we'll go to Lordstown Motors. They're the company making the truck that's very much a working truck. Very conventional looking. There's not a Cybertruck in any way. Looks like a normal truck in the US. They're selling to businesses, and you can't even buy one if you're a normal consumer because they're just selling to fleets for working vehicles. Lordstown Motors revealed a new round of commercial and strategic updates in a publication for their Endurance electric pickup truck. And in the fourth paragraph, they say that Lordstown Motors has signed a multi-year agreement for the cells. They're going to be coming from LG Chem, the same supplier as Tesla use. LG Chem make the 2170 cells for Tesla, and Lordstown confirming, according to Clean Technica, that their CEO Steve Burns saying that they'll use exactly the same cells as go in Teslas, not just the same form factor, 2170, 21 millimeters by 70, 700 millimeters, but exactly the same cells that you would find in a Tesla. So that's a good thing, right? Because those cells in the Model 3, the ones with cobalt in, which does have to come out of cells. We need to get that out of cells, but they seem to work okay for the Model 3 and the Model Y coming out of Fremont. The most exciting part of the latest update is the confirmation of a Lordstown van, which is going to use the four hub motors, one on each wheel, for all-wheel drive. Low ground clearance on this van and class-leading range. Great for deliveries, great for those things that need to be delivered to your house in nice, clean, green, electric form. And you know what? It's not a big jump to go from a van to an RV. $49 billion RV market in the US, and if we can get that going electric, that'll be so cool. Okay, let's talk a couple of charging stories. The Tennessee Valley Authority and the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation announcing recently that they're partnering to develop a statewide fast charging network to power the growth of EVs in Tennessee. The TDEC and TVA signed an agreement to collaborate and fund a network of fast charging stations every 50 miles along the interstate and highways, adding 50 new charging stations, tripling the existing DC fast charging network in Tennessee, where there's only 24 of them at the moment. And Electrify America are next in the news, the nation's largest public ultra-fast charging network, adding 30 solar-powered EV charging stations with two level 2 chargers to its network in California. These are off-grid, they're standalone, they are solar-powered, EV ARC, if I've mentioned it before. They've got the big solar canopy, and you can just pick them up and move them. And they have two level 2 chargers, which is great if you're going to be somewhere for an hour or so. You can plug in, get a nice little charge. They've got batteries on board as well. And it's going in rural areas, the rural parts of California, says Electrify America. They're going to have complementary charging. The new solar units help combat two of the biggest barriers to EV adoption: access in rural areas and affordability. The network ensured that more than half of these chargers are in and around disadvantaged and more low-income communities. 20 of the 30 are going to be at healthcare centres, and Electrify America identified that kind of educational and health institutions are ideal charging points because of the high amount of traffic and extended hours of access. And finally, today, we'll talk about a nice little article I found on the National Grid website that isn't really kind of like breaking news, but it's more insight, and I like to bring you these articles just to let your mind mull over, really, is how I think about it. And this is interesting because the National Grid here in the UK say that the changeover to electric vehicles, coupled with the national rollout of smart chargers, is putting people in the driving seat when it comes to managing energy use. And here's why. Making the shift to an EV makes energy electric something tangible. And it gets you interested in finding out the cheapest times of the day to use that energy. Real-time understanding makes us more aware of how to be more energy efficient. For example, by charging your EV at night when your energy tariff might get cheaper. It can also prompt people to find other ways to clean up their energy usage and their homes, solar panels and heat pumps. If every home and business had a smart meter, what you'd be able to do is measure the amount of energy as a country in real time. And through regular smart meter readings, which upload sometimes every few minutes or sometimes not quite as often as that, but some of them, like my one, is, well, admittedly, I've got a few other things as well that I monitor my home usage on, but it's real time. So it's real time data monitoring, and that gives me an accurate understanding of my electricity and gas usage. The Transport Decarbonisation Director at National Grid in this country is Graham Cooper, and he said, "The problem with electricity is you can't see it or smell it or touch it, but then you get a bill for it, a sheet of numbers that you don't really understand, and a figure that you have to pay for. Probably the most fundamental change in our energy system we're ever seeing with electric cars as trailblazers and smart digital as the glue connecting people to their energy. Because all of a sudden, electricity, which was something that you had at home and you just got billed for, and you're like, oh, what am I paying all this money for? All of a sudden, you know that your car has a battery of 50 kilowatt hours, 60 kilowatt hours, 70, and you know that you can go 0 to 60 in 5 seconds, 8 seconds, 10 seconds. And so you know exactly what their electricity is going towards. It's moving you from A to B, and you start thinking in terms of kilowatt hours, Graham sees the transition to EVs as a gear change to people understanding energy consumption themselves firsthand and beginning to explore money-saving changes and changing to their lifestyle. I'll pop a link to that blog on the National Grid website just online if you want to have a look. And look, all of the stories that I talk about all go in the show notes as well. Hey, long podcast today. Let me quickly say question of the week this week. It's a brand new one, so get your answers in. I'll read them out on Sunday. Regardless of the tech or the specs, what do you think is a really good-looking EV? Who is designing the best-looking EVs? And tell me why. Any price point, any segment, I'd love to know from you. My email address, if you want to get that in before Sunday, is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Can't wait to hear from you. Well, there are 986 previous shows in the archive. They're not all as long and waffly as this. Most of them are, in fairness. If you want to subscribe, if you're new to the podcast, in your podcast app, whether that is Apple or Spotify or Google, it just means that you get your shows first and free and automatically in whatever app you choose to listen to. Thank you very much to all of our premium partners. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley and the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard Simons at rscv.co.uk for buying and selling EVs here in the UK. Have a great day. I'll catch you tomorrow. In the meantime, remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.